You're listening to a special podcast produced by UMFM 101.5 in partnership with the Winnipeg Folk Festival. Running Thursday, July 11th through Sunday, July 14th at picturesque Birds Hill Park, Winnipeg Folk Festival is a celebration of people and music that has been one of North America's premier outdoor music festivals for over 40 years. I'm Michael Elves, host of Thank God It's Free Range, and this episode spotlights Ruth Moody. Moody splits her time between a solo career and as a member of the folk trio The Wailin' Jennies, as she splits her time between homes in Nashville and Vancouver Island. Her most recent release is Wanderer. Ruth Moody will be performing on the main stage on Thursday, July 11th at 6:15 p.m. For the full lineup, a complete list of set times, to purchase tickets and for more information on the Winnipeg Folk Festival, visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca. All right, well, no stranger to Winnipeg stages and headlining, starting things off at Winnipeg Folk Festival, Ruth Moody joins us on the program. Welcome, Ruth.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So can you think back, like, what do you recall your earliest memory of Folk Fest?
Yeah, I do. I can't remember how old I was, but I think I was either 14 or 15. And I went, I think I was 14, and I went for the day with my friends, and I was just completely blown away. I think my friends and one of my friends' dad. And I remember seeing Lorena McKennitt on the main stage and just being completely, in awe of her. And then the next year I went, I think I maybe camped the next year, maybe with that same friend's dad. And then I think the year after that I camped on my own. And that's sort of when the love affair with it started. I remember just being really, blown away by there being so many different kinds of music all in one weekend. Music from all over the world, some that I had never even really heard before. And then I started to volunteer, I think when I was 18, I volunteered for the first time. And then I played with Scrooge, I think when I was 22, maybe for my first time, 21 or 22. Since I was 14, I've really tried not to miss it, although in the last 10 years I've missed quite a few, but I'm so excited to come back.
Well, as the title of your new record indicates, you've been a wanderer. So you could be forgiven for not necessarily being at Birds
That
Hill every July.
is one place I would really love to wander to regularly, but yes, I've been traveling a lot, I've been touring a lot. I started a family 7 years ago, and I've been sort of splitting my time between Nashville and Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands. So, I haven't been in Winnipeg as much lately, but it still kind of feels like home. It feels like there's a lot of a love there, and I'm pretty pumped to be coming home.
I was going to say, playing the fest gives you a perfect opportunity to come back and experience it. Let's talk about this new record. So, as I understand it, the songs are from over a decade worth of writing.
Yeah, well, I mean, some are more recent and some are as old as, I guess, sort of after my last record came out, which was 2013. So, I know some of them are from, say, 2014, 2015. And I was sort of gearing up to make a record in 2016 while I was pregnant. I thought, well, I should maybe get this done while I have the time. And it didn't line up, for some of the musicians I wanted involved, couldn't do it at that time. And then I kind of put it off. I thought, oh, I'll do this next year. And of course, motherhood was way more all-consuming than I realized it was going to be. And so I didn't really get back to it until 2019, late 2019. I started working on it again when my son was three. And then the pandemic hit right after that. And so it got put on the back burner again. And then I wrote a bunch more during the pandemic and was writing, the first track on the record, Already Free, was written right before I went into the studio. Or I guess the words were written during the pandemic, but then I wrote the music about a month before going in. So it really does span a decade or so. And in that sense, it covers a lot of life journeying, really, because a lot happened in that time.
The songs you held on to from the earliest part of the process when you were first thinking about doing the follow-up, what was it about those songs that caused you to hold on to them and to keep them and bring them onto this record?
Well, I'm not a super prolific writer. So when I write one and it feels good, I definitely don't, I definitely hold on to it. And some of those songs were really, those early ones were written in a really kind of exciting and also, well, sometimes exciting time and sometimes painful time. I went through some heartbreak and also a lot of things were happening in my life around then with the release of that record and a lot of touring, and I had a lot to get out. And so, one of them was Coming Round the Bend. That was a song I wrote in 2014, and it really deals with, getting through a tough time and kind of finding your resilience through heartbreak and grief. And it has remained an important song for me emotionally. So that was actually the first song that we approached when we went into the studio. And I'm trying to think what else. Coyotes was another song that I wrote around that time, like early in the decade we're talking about. And that's sort of a song about kind of figuring out what is real and what is imagined when you're falling in love. Like what's a dream? What's the dream and what is actually real, and how do we sort that out? And that was sort of all reflective of what I was going through at that time, really finding my path. So yeah, to answer your question, I guess they just felt like important songs. I guess there are some songs from back then that I haven't recorded that maybe didn't feel like they were statements that I needed to still make. But generally, I do like to do something with a song if it feels like, yeah, I got a good one here, because those are, I mean, they don't happen every day. So
For sure. You mentioned
for some
Gordon.
people, maybe. Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay. You're the guest. You mentioned going into the studio. As I understand it, you got sick partway through the recording and had to postpone or kind of revisit.
I did, yeah. So we did 3 days, and I think we got 7 songs in those 3 days. I actually, now that I think of it, I think we had maybe 15 songs on the list that we wanted to record, and then we were going to sort through it and pick the ones that worked the best, and together, I mean. And I got sick at the end of the 3rd day. I could feel it coming on. So I woke up the 4th day and I had no voice. And so because we had flown some people in and we couldn't, the studio was booked, we couldn't just cancel. We had to keep going. And so we tried to have, Anthony DaCosta, he's a really great singer. He plays guitar all over the record, and he has toured with me a bunch, and he's toured with the Jennies a bunch, and he knows my songs and my delivery pretty well. So we had him sing a few of the songs with the idea that I would go in after and replace the vocal. And it was kind of our attempt to sort of salvage the situation. And it actually worked for one song, but generally speaking, we realized, okay, this doesn't really work. And what worked so beautifully up until then is that we were all playing together live. Everything was live, and it felt really, really special. Just these amazing musicians were such good listeners and really, really understood the emotional landscape of the tunes, and I felt really comfortable with them, and I was able to just let go and sing live and not be attached to sort of things being perfect in a way I think that I have been in the past. So that was a really big step for me. And so it was actually really devastating to not be able to do that because the live approach was working so well. But we did get one song out of it that way. But then we did some overdubs, and we did some sorting through of things in the next 3 days that we had booked where I couldn't sing. And then we had to book another session in which we did 3 songs. Yeah, we did 3 more songs. I guess maybe there's one song we didn't put on the record. We ended up with 11. And so that was, I mean, that was great too, because we'd had time to reflect on some things. And it's always nice to be able to take a break and process and then come back with some new ideas, or, having learned from your first experience, the second is always a little more informed. So that was also great too. It was a shame at the time to have to break it up. So we got 7 and ended up with 6, and then we got, no, sorry, we got 8 and ended up with 7, and then we got another 3. So it was, we only really ended up with one extra tune in the end, that we cut. Yeah, did that answer your question?
I think so. It actually raised another one though, because you mentioned, the attachment or the expectation that you felt kind of free of when you were in the room with everyone performing and not looking for that perfect take. It's kind of tied into something I read about kind of your own journey, with motherhood and being a creator and an artist and stuff, and that's something you've had to like shed yourself of, is these inborn expectations and some external expectations.
Definitely. I think I've carried those around for most of my life, or certainly my adult life. And it's some of those things I think were unavoidable, because I think women especially get given some messaging through society, through our culture, that basically make it difficult to just be ourselves and do what we want to do and say what we want to say. It's so complicated and it's different for everybody. But for me, I definitely sort of have found that difficult, and maybe only recently realizing that I don't have to be constantly sort of doing that equation in my head about, well, what do people want? And what should I be supplying here? Like, maybe I can just be free. maybe I can just be myself and be true to my creative spirit. And so there's, you know, part of this project, I think, was the beginning of that for me. And both, I think, in the writing and in the process of recording, and then also just deciding to put the record out on my own label. Yeah, there are lots of ways in which I started to kind of abandon some of those expectations. And, you know, also, I don't know if this, you might have touched on this, but the perfectionism in my work has been, it's tied to all that, but it's definitely just a part of my personality that I've realized sometimes gets in the way of really what I want and what I want to say and my happiness even. So that doesn't go away overnight. It's definitely a work in progress, but I'm starting to embrace imperfection and embrace flaws and really see like what is human here, what feels the most honest and real versus sort of what's the most polished, what's the most quote unquote perfect. And it's not black and white. It's all sort of linked in these interesting ways, but it's been really good for me to unpack that for sure.
Is that the end kind of unpacking or thought processes that lead to a song like 17?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, 17 isn't about that, but it came from a time of deep reflection during the pandemic. And I was thinking about the past and thinking about how, you know, that time in life when we're just full of emotion and really without the tools to deal with them. And I think when we're young and we're falling in love, all those voices come into play too. Like, what should I be doing? Who am I supposed to be? Who does this person want me to be? You know, so it's connected for sure. But more than anything, it just came out of a time where I was really thinking a lot about the past and thinking about how we become the people that we are and how we become strong, you know, even through our mistakes, and yeah, how we become resilient and how we find our way, how we find what it is we ultimately want. And how many times have I listened to an interview or, you know, read something, especially from older women, I was going to say from older people, but especially women who say, you know, if I could give my younger self advice, I would just say, you know, don't care so much about what anyone else thinks. And again, I think that's just that that's changing. There's a lot more conversation around it now and a lot more support. But I think that's what a lot of women have had to deal with. It's like, oh, I can't be myself. I have to be what all these other people expect me to be. Anyway, to answer your question, yes, sort of and sort of not. 17 was, it's in a way, it's just sort of a step into the past and thinking about young love and that sort of wonderful and exciting but also difficult time. But it came from a lot of thought about the past that I was doing.
Speaking of the past, you named your label after your first record. What prompted you to do that?
Yeah, well, I actually, when I released that EP, Blue Muse, I also named the label that because I liked the name, and it was the name of a painting that my friend had done of me. And so it felt really personal. And yeah, it just felt like, you know, this is me. And so it was already there, but this was really the first time that I actually put a record out in a significant way. But I just felt like, yeah, I think this is still my label's name. So I kept it.
Well, the latest release on Blue Muse is Wanderer. Before we let you go, Ruth, I want to get you to pick a song off of the record that we can play for listeners. And if you have a reason why or an anecdote about it, we'd love to hear that.
Sure. Well, I'm really excited about how The Spell of the Lilac Bloom turned out. It has special guest Joey Landreth on it. Of course, no stranger to Winnipeg. And he just really brought something special to the song. I wrote that song when I was pregnant, and just thinking about, it's a love song, but also kind of a reflective song about how things change as you journey along in the different stages of life. And when I first played it for my partner, he heard it immediately as a duet. And so I asked Joey, we heard Joey's voice on it, and I asked him to sing and play on it. And he said yes, which was a thrill for me. So I would love you to play that one if you feel so inclined.
We will absolutely do that. And we'll remind folks we can catch you. Well, you'll play a few workshops as well, but Thursday, July 11th, 6:15 p.m., kicking off the main stage. Ruth, thanks very much for taking some time out of your schedule to join us on the program.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Won't you take me to the old dance hall? Got a lifetime to figure it out. Just wanna swing your arms so don't forget. They say it's gonna change, don't let it change, yeah. 'Cause I can love you for good.
Show you all the ways that you started to say I couldn't take it. I tried to hide, too scared of you flee. If I could go back, I'd show you all the ways that you made me feel. If I could go back, I'd take you in my arms, try and set us free. If I could go back, I would meet you in the mountain and say I'm sorry. I was 17. You decided to go, I was gonna stay. I said it's better this way. I thought I'd try not to say goodbye, but I took your replacement straight to the station just in time to call out your name. If I could go back, I'd show you all the ways that you made me feel.
I'm Michael Elves, and you've been listening to a special podcast spotlighting Ruth Moody, who will be performing on the main stage on Thursday, July 11th at 6:15 p.m. at the Winnipeg Folk Festival. To hear more featured artists, visit umfm.com, and be sure to visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca to get tickets to this great event running July 11th through 14th at Burnsville Park.